This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on this 10th day of May 2010. Today I'm joined on the line once again by Dave Derby and Neil Foster of the Sovereign Independent Newspaper in Ireland, who recently had the honor of welcoming David Rockefeller to Dublin for the annual Trilateral Commission meeting. Dave and Neil, great to have you here. Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
All right, excellent. Well, I guess everyone wants to hear about your confrontation with David Rockefeller, but before we get into that, maybe we should just set the table and make sure everyone's on board. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there know about the Trilateral Commission, but why don't you just explain a little bit who they are and why this meeting is so important?
Why don't you go, Dave?
Yes, the Trilateral Commission was set up by David Rockefeller, and basically it's a globalist organisation. Basically, the reason why it's called Trilateral is because it incorporates the United States of America, incorporates Europe, and incorporates Japan. Okay, so what we're looking at is sort of a trilateral agreement for globalisation. So the way that we see it, when they're coming to our country, the Trilateral Commission, what they're actually doing is talking about ending our sovereignty, because that's what the Trilateral Commission are all about. They are a globalist organisation. They're one of a few globalist organisations, and they are one of the most dangerous, and they were here in Dublin this last weekend.
That's right, and of course a lot of the names of Trilateral Commission members will be familiar to a lot of the listeners of the Corbett Report, including, of course, David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger and other such upstanding individuals. And yes, they do have a main committee meeting every year in a different location, and this year they're meeting in Dublin, so I guess there's been a lot of commotion around there welcoming these people to your shores. And I understand that there's been a lot of people going out and confronting these people, and like, we are Change Ireland, but also the Sovereign Independent actually got to meet David Rockefeller. Tell us a little bit about this meeting and how it transpired.
Well, we went out for breakfast, basically, and the place we'd been the day before was closed, and so I suppose call it divine intervention, whatever you want to call it, but we ended up just deciding we'd go to the Four Seasons Hotel in Dublin to see if we could get into the place and see if there were any of the trilateralists walking around the place, see if we could identify and take it from there. Our plan was just to basically leave some newspapers at reception for the likes of Kissinger and Rockefeller, if they were still there, and basically just to leave some papers in the lobby, on the newspaper racks, etc. When we got there, we walked past the policeman stationed outside, walked straight into the reception, onwards into the seating area, which people could eat in. We sat down, had ordered coffee, spoke to the waiter briefly, asked if he'd seen any of the so-called dignitaries, Kissinger, Rockefeller, etc. And he claimed not to know who they were, so that was that. I was sitting facing the lobby and the reception area when I recognised Rockefeller's security guard walking towards us. And then I saw the infamous cane peeking out from behind his legs, and there was David Rockefeller. I turned to Dave and said, "Don't look round now, but you're not going to believe he's just walking up the hall here. He'll walk past you in a second," and there he was. And you can speak to Dave about his reaction then.
Well, it was, as you can imagine, me and Neil just looked at each other, and it was like we needed a couple of seconds to really sort of like just compose ourselves, because we were sitting on a couch, but there was a sort of coffee table. You know, it's a big sort of like seating area, as well as dinner tables. There was couches as well. And this is where me and Neil were sitting. So when David Rockefeller walked past us, our first reaction, we just looked at each other. Now, after a few seconds, Rockefeller walked past us and he sat down, and then his bodyguard walked away. He left the room, and it was at that point me and Neil decided that we've got to do something, say something to him. Now, we had a couple of copies of the Sovereign Independent with us, and we were sort of saying, what should we say, you know? It's like, okay, we'll just tell him, like, you know, that we don't want your New World Order. So at that point, we both got up, and you'll see it on the video on YouTube, we both got up, and we both went to the table, and Neil slapped a copy of the Sovereign Independent right down in front of David Rockefeller, okay, and both of us, we said, Mr. Rockefeller, you'll never get your New World Order. We are not your slaves. We're not your slaves. We said that to him, and as you can imagine, the whole table was stunned, and Rockefeller looked up at me.
The whole room.
The whole room. Rockefeller looked up at me as I was saying it. He was looking at me, and he just had this look on his face like he was, like a rabbit with the light shining in his eyes. He was stunned. His mouth was open like he was aghast at what just happened. And it's hard to explain the look that he gave me, because his eyes were dead. You know, he didn't look frightened, he looked shocked, but his eyes were dead, you know, and he just looked straight at me. And at that point, me and Neil both walked off. We turned around and walked off.
Calmly.
Very calmly, yes. We walked out of the building. Now, as you can imagine, it was a five-star hotel. It was all marble inside and everything, so it's quite an opulent setting, really. And me and Neil walked out of the building. Okay, with our heads held high, we walked out of the building, and people were actually stepping aside for us, okay, because everyone heard the commotion. People were stepping aside to us, and then lo and behold, Rockefeller's bodyguard came running back to him, and he passed us when he heard the commotion. He actually walked past us, but me and Neil just walked out of the building calmly through those front doors, through past the doormen, past the police guards that were actually on the forecourt outside. And we actually managed to leave the premises completely. And at that point, we
after checking our pulses and our sanity. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you pay for the coffee?
No.
Uh oh.
I think I should call them up, because that's probably the only criminal offense they can get us on.
Exactly. Well, that I can only imagine what that must have felt like at the time. But certainly people who want to take a look at it can take a look at Sovereign Independent Confronts Rockefeller in Dublin Trilateral Venue up on YouTube right now. And of course, I'll include a link in the documentation section of this interview for people to take a look for themselves. And yes, unfortunately, the camera quality is not perfect, but I understand that you were not holding it like a camera up to your eye. You were just holding it down by your waist.
Yeah, well, it was my camera phone, you know. Okay. And basically, we I didn't want to be holding it up so that people would see it and someone would confiscate it. So really, I had the camera sort of between sort of chest and waist height, okay, and I was holding it. Well, I put a copy of the Sovereign Independent onto the table as well. So basically, as we were saying what we were saying, the camera, I didn't have it up to my eye, so I couldn't see what it was recording. So fortunately, it did get some of it. It got a little bit of David Rockefeller in it. It got all of the other people on the table, or most of them anyway. And you could see clearly in the video the Sovereign Independent sitting on the table, and you can also see when Neil is actually putting it on the table. I think you have to slow it down in places, you know, frame by frame, and you can actually see exactly what's happening there. The Sovereign Independent's going down on the table, and it's sitting there, we're saying our bit, everybody's stunned, and then that was the end of it. And it was at that point we just walked out. And the feeling that we had when we walked out, the best way that I think I can describe how I felt was, I was floating. I was like 10 foot high. You know, like I felt like I was floating on air, but my heart was beating like no one's business.
I was just happy I wasn't tasered.
I guess so, yeah. Well, for anyone who hasn't done anything like this before, I don't know if you could explain it to them, but it certainly is a feeling of crossing a threshold and committing yourself even further to this and all of it that entails. And it is quite a liberating feeling, I think, afterwards. Well, but
yeah, I mean, we only had more or less 30 to 40 seconds to decide what we were going to do, because the security guard had left, and we didn't know where he'd gone, if he was coming straight back, or, you know, so we just had to decide what we were going to say and do it. So that was it.
Exactly.
There was no time to think about the consequences or whatever. It just had to be done. That was it.
Well, I think this is a textbook example of the way it should be done in this situation. Just given the resources that you had and what you were doing at the time, I think there is just no better way to do this. And the testament to that is the fact that you both got out of there without being confronted and without having your footage taken. So this is absolutely the way it needs to be done. You just did what had to be done and got out of there. And my hat's off to you for doing it. It's incredible.
I think the rest of the people actually in the building were so shocked themselves, and they didn't know if we were going to do anything else, so they just got out of the way and let us walk out the door. Because it's just, and I think Rockefeller himself, must be wondering if it was a setup, because the security guard walked off and left us sitting right in front of his prized possession. And I would think Mr. Rockefeller's going to have some serious words to say to his security personnel.
I would guess so, but they can't watch him at every possible moment. So, as a physical presence, what is this 93-year-old man like?
An evil. I don't know. I couldn't look at him because I was too busy bending over his shoulder, making sure I didn't knock any of the silverware over the glasses, or even touch him, because I didn't want to be charged with assault or damage to property or any of that stuff. But Dave was looking straight at him, so he's probably better to tell you.
It's hard to sort of describe, because it's the first time I've actually looked at somebody like that and got the... It's a sort of like the gaze that he gave me back. I mean, evil comes across. You feel a lot of evil there. Even when he was walking past us, and he was only about maybe 18 inches away from us when he was actually walking past us while we were sitting. And when I saw him and I saw that face, you have that immediate sort of like feeling, you know, like where you sort of like feel this cold chill in the air. He seems to be able to create that sort of atmosphere. And that's what he was doing. That's basically my first impression of it. But then when I was looking at him at the table, it just, I could see coldness in his eyes. You know, it was like dead eyes. I suppose that's the best way I can describe it. Like I say, it only happened yesterday. So, again, a lot of it is all coming back to me now, you know, in hindsight, you know, how I felt when I actually looked at him. But certainly it wasn't a beneficial feeling in any way.
I can imagine the Darth Vader theme playing in the background as he walks by.
You can actually cut a knife at the end of it, and that was the thing. You know, as we were walking away, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. It was silent in the place, and as we were walking away, people, like I say, people were moving aside for us, and we just had almost like a red carpet out of the building. You know, you can see this big entrance in front of us, you know, to the front of the hotel. It's quite a grand place. And we just walked side by side, just straight out of the main entrance and straight out onto the road. Right. And as we were doing that, you could feel the atmosphere. You could cut the atmosphere of a knife. And at any point, what I was worried about was at any point we're going to be apprehended on our way out, or someone's going to take my camera or something like that. But we got out. Miraculously, we got out. We even walked past the police and then we got outside onto the street. So... it was, it felt like we were sort of like running the gauntlet, because at any point someone could have stopped us. So it was a very unique situation that I've been in, that I've never really been in before. Mm.
It's 1 minute you'll never forget.
1 minute we'll never
I guess not, but I think you handled it extremely well, especially that you were concerned not to touch them or not to, you know, interfere with them in any way, just to do what you needed to do and get out. I think that's the best way to do it in that situation, especially when it's just the two of you. And it was just the two of you, right?
Yeah.
It was just the two of us in there at that time. I mean, it was just chance, because, you know, it was on the Sunday morning and the talks were all over by then, you know, but there were still the trilateralists all there. You know, a lot of them would have been there on Sunday. So, and we decided to make our way back down and get some breakfast and that. We stayed in Dublin overnight and we went to get some breakfast, and the place where we went the day before was closed. So at that point, like Neil said, at that point we said, well, why don't we go to the Four Seasons where the trilateral was being held, just for the crack, you know? So we went down and everything just fell into place. And where we sat, you know, there was no special reason why we sat where we did. We just sat there, and it just happened to be the place where Rockefeller walked straight past us. So what are the chances of that happening? You know, everything fell in place for us. It's almost divine.
Absolutely. It all fell into place, and you got your 40 seconds and got out of there. It's great. So I understand that you were also doing some action outside on Saturday and spreading some sovereign independent word.
Yeah, yeah. There was a number of other groups there, the We Are Change crowd, and a lot of just individuals who turned up just to have their say. We did a lot of talking to the police at the gates, who were very accommodating, shall we say. They never bothered us at all. There was a couple of them undercover guys keeping an eye on things. But in general, it was fine. And we actually had a couple of delegates come out, gave us interviews. A lot of that's on film, which is going to be put together by a number of the groups and trying to get it all onto one disc, I believe. There was also charges filed with the police at the gate for the arrest of Henry Kissinger for an outstanding warrant, which I believe the Spanish authorities issued back in the 70s or 80s. I'm not sure of the dates on that. Somebody else is dealing with that. So that notice has been served to the guards that Henry Kissinger is a wanted criminal and that they should be actually seeking his arrest. But from what I understand after that, he left prematurely. So possibly he was aided in his escape by the Irish authorities.
Right. And I understand someone has been in contact with the Spanish embassy in Dublin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I won't mention his name, but he does a lot of this kind of thing, and he's trying to confirm that warrant is still applicable today, and if so, why the Irish security services haven't arrested Henry Kissinger. And if they haven't, then they have aided a fugitive.
Absolutely. Well, one can only hope that would be the end of his sojourn in Dublin, to be arrested and extradited. But
I think he's actually gone. He went out under those circumstances.
I see. Well, that's unfortunate. But you did manage to spread some copies of the paper to interested onlookers, as I understand.
Absolutely. Yeah. On you go, Dave.
Yeah, we managed to distribute a few hundred of them, and then the onlookers were taking them, basically all of the groups that were there, because again, even though there's a lot of different groups there, we're all working together, we're all on the same page. So there was quite a few people that were not even associated with us that were actually giving out the newspaper as well. And we made up some big signs, some big banners, big A1 sheets, and we made up about 7 or 8 of them. As other people made banners up and everything, there were people in, dressed up in costumes and what have you. So there was quite a good atmosphere there, So sometimes it was almost like a little bit like a carnival atmosphere, really, because rather than, it being a protest, it was more of a celebration of our sovereignty and what have you. So it was a good atmosphere. Everyone enjoyed it. The weather was out. The sun was out. It was an absolutely beautiful day. There was a lot of banter. We enjoyed it. There was no trouble whatsoever. And the We Are Change boys, they managed to get hold of some brilliant video of Rockefeller and Mary McAleese, the Irish president, on the Saturday. And that's up on YouTube as well. So that was some progress. And then with what we done Sunday, all in all, it was an absolutely brilliant weekend. It was a very enjoyable weekend for everyone and a very productive weekend.
Excellent. And it's certainly a testimony to what can be done when you when there are boots on the ground and people actually get out there and take action. And you never know what, if you're in the right place at the right time, you never know what opportunity will present itself. So it's absolutely important for people to follow this rather than to simply listen about it. But I understand Jim Tucker was also there.
Yeah, we met him on the Saturday. I think Dave spoke to him more than I did, so possibly better speak to Dave on that one.
Yeah, Jim Tucker, obviously, he was there to, gather as much footage and information as he possibly could, and he's been writing quite a long essay. He was spending all day yesterday writing an essay. And he was obviously very, very interested in what it was and what me and Neil done, so he's taking all the details off of Dab. We've sent him the video as well. We're going to be printed in the American Free Press as well. So Jim's obviously going to help us to get this information around. It was great to have Jim there and actually work with him, because obviously we've seen him so many times on the Alex Jones videos and what have you. And it's just that it was a privilege to actually be working with him because the experience that he's built up, and we had a great time, over the weekends talking to him and chatting to him about some of his experiences and what have you, And because of the footage that we got, like me and Neil have got, and the footage that we Are Change have got, I think Jim was quite happy to go back with everything that he did. I think he got a lot more than what he was expecting.
Right. We don't usually see a lot of this type of material coming out of the Trilateral Commission meetings, but hopefully this is a sign that more people will be paying attention to these in the future, because obviously a lot of the same players who will be at Bilderberg in next month.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely.
Well, the policemen that were there on Saturday and Saturday evening were extremely interested in what we had to say, and because of the financial situation here right now, then they can kind of see what's happening. And we were just trying to point a finger at the people to blame, and they were quite susceptible to it. There were hints given by some of the police present that they knew the direction which the police force was being forced to go down, and they weren't happy with it, which was a positive sign from our point of view. And when it's pointed out to them that you know, they could have been sent off to Greece to police riots there, they were unaware of that under the Lisbon Treaty. So hopefully that's opened their eyes a little bit on that.
That's right, exactly. Yes, Ireland has, of course, been the epicenter of the globalist battle for a few years now, and unfortunately lost the Lisbon Treaty battle. But what we see happening in Europe right now is coming to a head in a number of ways. So it's important to be spreading the word about these very important meetings that are taking place behind closed doors. And on that note, any plans for anyone associated with the Sovereign Independent to head to Bilderberg this year?
I'm skint.
Yeah, there will be a few, but I'll certainly be going. There will be a few, but we haven't decided who's going or exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. Obviously, we'll have to collaborate a little bit, possibly with Jim Tucker himself as well. But yeah, there will be a Sovereign Independent presence there without a doubt. We couldn't miss that.
Excellent. Well, certainly, I would hope you get another chance to maybe give another one of these people a copy of the paper. But at any rate, you never know. And exactly. Well, excellent work, guys, and thank you so much for having done that and for having kept your cool and having gotten out of there. And my hat's off to you for that work. Anything else you'd like to share with people?
Well, it shows anybody out there that, as you say, in the right place at the right time with a mobile phone and a newspaper and 40 seconds to spare, you can do anything.
Well, I suppose a lot of what happened to us, you never know what's around the corner, you know, and sometimes the most interesting things happen, you know, at the spur of the moment. If you do come across a situation like we do, you know, sometimes you don't really have a lot of time to think, you know. We literally had seconds. We didn't know how long we had because the bodyguard had just walked off, so we had to think very, very quick. And I think if you have a chance to do something like that, at the end of the day, you've got every right to go and tell these people, you know, give them some home troops. And you should be able to walk up to them and talk to them like we did. We were no threat to him. We were no threat to anybody whatsoever. We'd done our bit, we said our thing, and then we walked away, and that was the end of it. So hopefully, you know, hopefully if we can inspire people that find themselves in that situation, you've got to remember that these people are still just human beings. They might be psychopaths, but they're just human beings anyway, and you can walk up to them and you can tell them what you think, and more people need to do that. Because while we remain silent, all they're getting is the opinion and the support of the governments. Rockefeller had spent all weekend talking to the Irish government and other governments about globalisation, about the New World Order. And so all me and Neil done was simply give him the voice of the people, and we told him that the people didn't want the New World Order. So I feel that was given our side of the story. That's given the balance. This is the voice of the people. He'd spoken to our government. A government that sold us down the river like I always do. And then me and Neil came along, and we've given them the voice of the people. No, we don't want your New World Order. You'll never get it. So that's the way that we see it. And I think that, you know, more people realise that they can go and they can actually tell these people, you know, how they feel, the better. Because we need to have a voice, and we need to use that voice.
Well, they need to understand that it's not working. The indoctrination is not working anymore. And more and more people are starting to become aware of what's actually happening around them as the country's collapsed because of these people. And hopefully we can encourage more people to stand up and say something.
Well, I certainly hope so. And again, I think this is a good example for people to follow. And certainly I want to thank you for having shared that, because it's certainly my opinion. And I'm glad Mr. Rockefeller got to hear it from someone up close and personal. So Dave Derby and Neil Foster, sovereignindependent.com, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.